Morning, everyone. Good Chodesh, everybody. Today's daf in Gittin is Nunches. We are in Zion Amid Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zech Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. In the middle of Nun Zion Amid Beis, we are starting today with Hakol Kol Yaakov. It is a little less than halfway down the Amud. First word in the line is Dechsiv. And right in the center. Okay, in the fifth parak of Gittin, we are in the middle of discussing Chorban Bayis. Chorban Bayis Rishon, Chorban Bayis Sheni. A little bit of both, but mostly Chorban Bayis Sheni. The Agarata began on Nun Vav Amud, Nun Hay Amud Beis. The Gemara told three poignant stories regarding Chorban Bayis Sheni, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Tarnagola Tarnagolasa, and the story with the carriage. Those three poignant stories really identified the Chorban Bayis Sheni. And so while the Gemara is in the middle of discussing the Chorban Bayis Sheni, so it goes back and discusses a little bit of the Chorban Bayis Rishon. And so 2.5 blot of Gemara really dedicated to the topic of destruction. Comes up in the middle of the fifth parak. We're in the middle of discussing Sikrikin, which is actually when we finish the Agarata, God willing, later this morning. So we're going to go back to the topic of Sikrikin of the Mishnah, which is again part of the Takanas that were instituted. And the whole theme of the fifth parak of the Masechta is dedicated to various takanos. In the meantime, however, let's pick it up where we left off. We have a lot of Gemara to go through today. Hakol Kol Yaakov Yedayin De Esav. So the scene in Parshas Toldos when the father Yitzchak puts his hand on his son and is bothered by the fact that on one hand he sounds like Yaakov, but on the other hand he feels like Esav. So the Gemara goes on to explain Hakol Zeh Adrinus Aspasianus Kesav. So the let's skip the line. Hakol ze adrinus kesar shaharak balachzangia shal mitzrayim shishim ribu al shishim ribu kiflaim kayot mitzrayim. So the this is a reference to a Caesar that in Alexandria shal mitzrayim, which was an extraordinarily large Jewish city. You remember the Gemara in Sukkah that goes on to describe that in the shul of Alexandria shal mitzrayim. In order so that everyone knows it's time to answer amen, so they would wave flags in order so that everyone would know it's time to answer amen. So it was a huge shul. Gemara put it at a population of 1.2 million. So that is the that's the destruction that took place over there. Yaakov, ze Aspasianus Kesar Shaharg Bekrach Beitar Arba Meos Ribo, and Aspasianus Vespasian was responsible for the murder of 400 times 10,000, 4 million. So the that was killed in Krach Beitar. V'amir la'arba alafim ribu, or some have it at 40. At 4,000 times 10,000. So that's 40 million. V'hayadayim yidei Esav zeh malchus harisha. And when it says yadayim yidei Esav, that's a reference to the wicked nation. That's always a reference to Rome. She'achrivas batenu v'sarfas echalenu v'igalasenu miyartzenu, who destroyed our Beit HaMikdash. Davar echa kol kol Yaakov ein lecha tefila shemalas she'im bo mizera she'yakov. If you want tefillah to be productive tefillah has to come from somebody who descended from Yaakov. And if you want milchama to be successful, so it has to be somebody who is a descendant from Esav involved. And so the Gemara says that that's pshat in the pasuk that when you want meriva, so you need somebody who is skilled in that kind of art. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav my dichsiv. What does the pasuk say? Anaros Bavel Shem Yeshav Negam Bechino Bezachrin Etziam Lamisharano Hakadosh Baruch Hu David Chorban Bayis Rishon VeChorban Bayis Sheni. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed David Benevuah the destruction of Bayis Rishon and Sheni. Chorban Bayis Rishon Shenem Anaros Bavel Shem Yeshav Negam Bechino. So in terms of Chorban Bayis Rishon, so there it's indicating the pasuk in the beginning of the pasuk of Naros Bavel, the rivers of Bavel, because that's where we were exiled after Chorban Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni dechziv zechor Hashem levnei Edom es Yerushalayim hamrim aru aru ad hayesod ba. And the reference of Edom, which is a reference to Rome, which was responsible for Chorban Bayis Sheni. So David HaMelech, who didn't even build Bayis Rishon, only his son built Bayis Rishon, but was shown the destruction of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'Itim Rav Yami v'Amri La B'Masni Satana Ma'isa B'Dal Me'os Yiladim 400 young boys and young girls that were taken into captivity, and they were going to be basically brought in for prostitution. And they had an understanding and awareness of what exactly what was intended for them. So if we drown ourselves in the sea, so we're going to be brought to Olam Haba. So we're going to be saved and rescued from the depths of the sea. These are the people who throw themselves off in the sea. When the girls heard this, so they jumped into the water. Now the young boys saw the young girls jump into the ocean, so they made a kavachomer for themselves. Now, women are, unfortunately, generally put in for prostitution. Boys, on the other hand, are not. If they are going to jump in the river, and this is something which is more natural to them, so we, who it's more unnatural for us, for sure we should jump in. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. We kill ourselves over you, kol hayom, right, all the day. We're like sheep to the slaughter. So the Gemara associates this pasuk with the incident that was just told over. Rav Yehuda Amar Zu Isha Vishiva Baneha. So the Gemara tells another maisa regarding a woman and her seven sons. Before we begin this next story, the obvious question, the basic issue is right. Is the allowance to take one's life? Is somebody allowed to take their own life? So take a look at the second Tosos on the Amud. So Tosos writes, "V'hadamar b'nesachas avodazara mutav shilenu mishin nesna minavayechabel ba'atzmo." So generally speaking, you're not allowed to do any type of damage or harm to yourself. Certainly not suicide. And meanwhile, that's what the 400 children did. Now, the Gemara does not comment whether it was right, whether it was wrong. The Gemara just simply said that they'd rather kill themselves rather than subject themselves to prostitution. But our Gemara doesn't make a comment in terms of the validity of the act. So, Tosus over here works with an assumption that what they did was correct. That's Tosus' assumption. And Tosus says, so, first of all, Tosus says that over here, they were worried about torture. And the Gemara elsewhere says, it's the Gemara in Ksuvos, that if it's a question of torture, Gemara makes a statement. I mean, the Gemara says it, so I'm just repeating the Gemara. That Hanani Mishal Vazari jumped into Kivshan Eish rather than being over to Vodazara. Gemara says, fine, but that's only if they would have been killed. Had they been tortured, then they would have worshipped the Vodazara. So, okay, it's the Gemara says it. So basically, the idea is, the understanding is that torture is just, it's so heartbreaking that you are, under certain circumstances, allowed to give up your life rather than subject yourselves to torture. That's Tosus' understanding in terms of what gave them the allowance to throw themselves into the ocean. And furthermore, Tosus suggests that they would have just violated them, and they wouldn't have killed them. And so this is really an issue of death over torture rather than death over death. So, okay, so it's not a question of Yahar Gval Yavor. Okay, anyway, it's an important discussion Tosus has. Let's go back to our Gemara again now. Okay, Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry. Rav Yehuda Amar Zu Isha V'Shiva Baneha. Right. The Gemara quotes the pasuk Ki Aragnu Kol Hayom. We're killed every day. So Gemara ascribes that pasuk to various incidents that took place during Churban Bayis Sheni. So the mother together with her seven sons. Asiu Kamal Kami De Kesar. So they brought the seven sons in front of Kesar. Amalei Plach Lavodes Kochavim. So now the instructions were to each one of the sons. Okay, I want you to bow down to idolatry. So Amalehu Kazubatar. I know. So first Dibra says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the singular entity. And there's no other koach. So afku v'katlua. So they took him out. They killed him. Vasiu leidach lekamei the case. So they took son number two. Amar lei plach levodes kochav. The instruction was son number two was avodah zara. Amar lo katzav b'torah lo ziyelacha lohim acharim al panai. So he quoted the second dibra. Afku v'katlua. So they took him out and they killed him. Vasiu leidach and they took the third son. Amar lei plach levodes kochavim. Amar lei katzav b'torah zaveich lohim acharim. So he quoted the pasuk. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to worship idolatry. You're going to be put to death if you worship idolatry. Afku v'kadlua, asiu le'idach, now the fourth son. Amalei plach levodes kochavim, amalei katsu b'torah lo si shachavel el acher. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to bow down to another god. Afku v'kadlua, asiu le'idach, they took the fifth son. Amalei plach levodes kochavim, amalei katsu b'torah, shma yisro, shem lokeinu, shem echad. The unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the singularity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afku v'kadlua, so they took him and they killed him. Asiu le'idach, now the sixth son. Amalei plach levodes kochavim, amalei katsu b'torah, v'yedata hayom v'shivosa el avavacha, ki Hashem hu halokim, b'shamayim im ha'av al-aretz mitachas, ein od. Afku v'kalu, they took him out and they killed him. Asiu le'idach, now they took the seventh son. This is the final son of this woman. Amalei plach levodes kochavim, the Caesar told the seventh son to bow down to idolatry. Amalei katsu b'torah, Hashem ha'amarta v'chulei, v'Hashem ha'amirach ha'yam, kvar nishbanu la'kadosh baruch hu, she'in anu ma'avir noso be'el acher. V'afu nishbalanu she'in ma'avir osanu be'uma acheres. We have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to exchange him for another god. He's not going to exchange us for another nation. Amalei Kesar, ish dilach gushpanacha v'gachim v'shakle. So Caesar showed just a little bit of compassion and said to the kid, look, I'm going to put my ring on the floor. You're going to pick it up. You're going to give it back to me. At least pretend like you're bowing down. Ki hechi delimru kibalai harmana demalka. At least people will say that you accepted upon yourself some sort of authority of the king.
He was being not preventing from being shamed because none of them accepted.
Okay. So could be. Amarlei chaval alacha keser, chaval alacha keser. Cover atzmacha kacha, cover Kadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'kama. So the seventh son, showing an act of courage and defiance, says to the keser, "Look, it's a real shame. Meaning you're so worried about your kavod. How about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavod? How much more so should I be worried about? Avkula mekdaling." So they're taking him out to be killed. This is now the seventh son. So Amrulu ime yahavuni aleve inshku porte. So the mother says, "Let me at least kiss him." Amr lo bini lechuvi imu laAvram avichem. And the mother says, "I want you to report and send the following message to Avram Avinu. Ata akarta mizbech echad veani akarati shiva mizbechos. You, Avram Avinu, set up one mizbech to kill your one son. I set up seven mizbechos. Afhi alta lagag v'naflam v'mesa. She went up onto the roof and she killed herself. Now over here we're not going to discuss the same issue we discussed just a moment ago in terms of you're allowed to give up your life. Over here I guess the understanding is that she just simply it was too painful. Yatsa Basko ve Amraim Ema Banim Smecha. The Basko comes out, Ema Banim Smecha. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi Amrazu Mila Shenitna Bishmini. So another pshat behind this pasuk. This pshat is just a little easier to digest. Not a tragedy, but rather a mitzvah. And again, the pasuk says, "Ki alecha harag mikol hayom." We're killed over you all the day. So the Gemara says it's a reference to Mila. It's a reference to Mila. In other words, obviously we're not killed during Mila. But what happens is that we give a little blood, a little excision. In other words, it's a misa me'at. It's a mini death of you all. Rav Shimon Malachi Shomer Ela Tamid Chacham Shemarim Halacha Shechita Ba'atzman. Rav Shimon Malachi says it's for those Tamid Chachamim who show the halachas Mila on themselves. Meaning they're in the basement just learning Hilchos Shechita. And while learning Hilchos Shechita, so you have to explain that it basically it's a knife that's going across the neck. And so they take the knife and they show, this is exactly how it's done. So they put themselves in jeopardy in order to show how it's done. And Rava says that in general you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't show and demonstrate the halachas of shechita on yourself. Some say, by the way, you shouldn't even do it with your finger, but like I just did. But certainly not with a knife. Davar acher of Nachman Yitzchak Amar El Tamid Chachamim Shemimisa Matzman Al Divrei Torah. And finally, the Gemara offers another pshat in terms of Ki Alecha Harag Mikol Hayom. And again, not a pshat that involves devastation. A pshat that involves just simply how to conduct yourself, and that is Torah. When you learn Torah, you should kill yourself over Torah. Kedrav Shem Malakish, Amr Shem Malakish, Ein Devei Sora Miskaimim, Ela Bemisha Meimis Atzma Aleihem. Torah is only Mekuyam when someone kills himself over the Torah. Shenemar Zos Torah Adam Ki Yemos Ba'ohel V'chulei. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from the beginning of Parshas Chukas, where it's not the pasuk pshat, certainly not the simple pshat in the pasuk, but Bederech Hadrush, the Gemara explains that this is the Torah when a person kills himself in a, well, again, literally the pasuk is talking about when someone dies in the tent. But Bederech Hadrush, when somebody kills himself over Torah, that's when the Torah is Mekuyam. He's going to have a sustaining of Torah. Am Rabba Barbachan, Am Rav Yochanan, Arbaim Sa, Kitzutzei Tvil Nimtzu, Barosha, Aruge Besar. There were 40 saw of straps of tefillin that were found at the Rosh Eruge Besar, at the top of Besar. Besar was the final stand, the last stand between the Jews and the Romans. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era, and then about 70 years later, 65 years later, so there was an attempted rebellion, revolt of the remaining Jews against the Romans. History has Rabbi Kiva being part of that part of the rebellion in Beitar. Bar Kokhba also is reported to have been involved in that rebellion, and so. And we were defeated. We were defeated in Beitar. The Gemara in Brachos in the 7th Perek talks about the great miracle that takes place in Beitar, meaning that that after the destruction of Beitar, the Romans wanted to make sure that there would be never revolt again by the Jewish people. So what they did is, after killing everyone in Beitar, so they refused to have the bodies being buried. The nace that happened in Beitar is that the bodies, although they weren't buried, so they didn't decompose. The decomposition of a body occurs pretty quickly after death. I don't know how many days the bodies were left, but the bodies were left in Beitar unburied for an extended period of time, and the miracle was is that the bodies didn't decay. The Chachmei Yisrael, that generation, so they added a fourth bracha to benching to commemorate that the Nes. So Hatov HaMeitiv, which is the fourth bracha of benching, is a commemoration of the Nes that took place in Beitar. Okay, so that's just a brief history and Gemara lesson regarding Beitar. So the Gemara over here describes now the tefillin that were found in Beitar. 40 sa'ah is the mikvah full of tefillin. So arba'im sa'ah kitzutzei tefillin nimtzu b'rosh haruge Beitar. Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar shalosh kupo shel arba'im sa'ah. So the different versions of how many tefillin that were there. 3 kupos of 40 by 40 saw, but Masisatan Abraisa, Arbaim Kupo, shall assign 40 kupas of 3 by 3 saw, comes out to the same, 40 times 3, 3 times 4. 3 times 40, but anyway, the 120 in total. V'lo pligi ha'dereisha ha'dedara. But in terms of explaining how, in the first version it was 40 saw, in the second version it was 3 times 40, so it's just a question of the tefillin shel yad versus the tefillin shel rosh. The assumption is that the tefillin shel rosh is larger than the tefillin shel yad. Tefillin shel yad only has one bias, and all 4 partios are written and inserted into the one bias. Masha'en king, the tefillin shel rosh is made up of 4 batim. Right? Our tefillin are so beautiful. Right, it's something that we take for granted. But our tefillin are so beautiful that the tefillin shel rosh looks like one bias. It's the way it's manufactured these days. It's unbelievable. But the back then it wasn't as well done. But still, it was the shel rosh is made up of 4 batim. So obviously, it's much larger. It occupies a lot more area. Amar Rabbi Asi arba kaven moch nimso eleven achas. There, according to Rav Asi, the tradition is that 4 kaven of brain. Of brain matter was found on one stone. Ula Amar Tisha Kaben, Amar Rav Kana Vitema Shila Bar Maria Mikra, Baz Bavel Hashidura, Ashrei Shishan Leon Lach, Ashrei Shiochas Venafas Es Olecha Al El Hasela. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Eov, and the Gemara and Pasuk from Eov basically describes that Kodesh Baruch Hu, our tefillah to you is that the same thing that was done to us should be done to them as well. Nekama, Kodesh Baruch Hu should be instrumental in the Nekama against those who killed us in Beitar. We're almost done with the Agadata. We have another Amud to go. We're on in Chesamad Aleph. We're at the 2 dots towards the top of the Amud. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Eicha in the 4th Perek. The pasuk describes that the Bnei Tzion HaYikarim, the precious children, Hamisulaim Bepaz, more than Paz. Paz was a precious metal. My Misulaim Bepaz, Yilema Dahava Mechafet Bepiza. What does that mean? It means that the children were decorated with this kind of precious metal. Va'amri Debei Rabbi Shila, Tarte Metakle, Isturi Piza, Nachas Ba'ama. There are two shkalim of peas that are in the world, chada berumah v'chada b'kolayama. Rome had one of it, and the rest of the world had the other 50%. So Rome was the one who had all the paz. Elisha, or at least most of the paz in the world. Elisha yimegana sapaz biyofyan. But rather, they would look at the paz because it was so beautiful. Mikara chashiva derama havanakte bilyone de gushpanka umisham she arsayu. The original minhag of the Romans, the chashivim in Rome, the politicians, the important people in Rome. So what they would do is that when they would have intimacy with their wives in bed, so they would place the paz over the bed, so they would be able to look at the paz while being misham shmitosayim. Mikan ve'elech. And then afterwards, they would, instead of taking the paz, they would take Jewish children, tie them to the bed, and look at the Jewish children during Tashmish Amita, Umishamshe. And that's the pshat in the pasuk in Eicha, that they would replace the paz with the Jewish children, and they would look at the Jewish children. So now, these children, Jewish children who are tied to the bed and subject to this kind of embarrassment and humiliation and degradation. So one turns to the other, and one says to the other, where is this? Meaning, I know the Tochacha, you know the Tochacha, I don't understand. This is not in the Tochacha. Meaning that they understood that all this was part of the Tochacha, but where is this? Where is this idea that we're going to be tied to the beds during Tashmish Amita? I don't understand. So Amar Lei Gam Kol Choliv Chomak Asher Lo Kasa B'Sefer Torah Hazos. So the other says to the other says it's there. Meaning the pasuk says that even those things that are not in the Sefer are also going to be visiting you as well. So in other words, the Torah makes a reference to the fact that there are going to be other acts of humiliation, which are not mentioned in the Torah, that you're going to be subject to. Amar kamar mechakina miduchta plan. So the one says to the other, in other words, they're both learning Torah. And one's reading the Tochacha and didn't get to that pasuk yet. So one says to the other, well, how far away am I from that pasuk? So amar lahu, ingate pususa upalga. You're a column and a half off from the place. Meaning just read on another column and a half, and you get to the pasuk. And then the first one says, "Oh, if I would have gotten there, so then I wouldn't have asked you, and I wouldn't have needed you. I would have figured that out." Okay.
It's a Jewish.
It's right. It is right. That's a very Jewish. It is a Jewish response. I'm a viewer. Mishmo mishum rabishum and gamliel my dichsiv eini olal nafshim mikol benos iri. Pasuk from Eicha in Perek Gimel. The Gemara goes on to explain. Arba meos bati kinesis hayu b'krach beitar. There were 400 shuls in beitar, and v'chol achas v'achas hayu b'arba meos malam di tinokos. And in each one there were 400 rebbeim. V'chol echa v'echad hayu lefan of arba meos tinokos shabes rabban. And everyone was responsible for 400 students. That's a large class size. I don't know if I could justify such a large class size, but ukishaya oyev nechnas v'shama yudokin osam b'chotreim. And when the enemies originally got there, so they would stab the enemies. Ukishagavar oyev v'lachdom karchum b'stifrein v'sisim be'esh. But finally, when the Roman armies were able to overtake the yeshivas and the students in Beitar, so they wrapped them up in the Sefer Torah and they burned them in the Sefer Torah. Tana Rabbanan, we are in the middle of Nunches Amud Aleph Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Shalach l'krach gadol shabarami amar lo tinok echa yesh be'beis hasurim yafein. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, as he went to Rome, heard about a young man who was held captive. Beautiful looking young man. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya visits him in prison. Apparently, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya himself had some sort of political pull, some sort of political influence, in that he was obviously able to go in and out of the jails. But anyway, this young Jewish man who was held captive, so he read to him a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Beis. Now, unfortunately, I know that if that pasuk was read to me, so I would not be able to finish the pasuk. But this young man who was sitting in jail, Ano Oso Tinik Va'amar Halo Hashem Zu Chatanu Lo Velo Avu B'Drachav Halach Velo Shamu B'Sarasso. So the young man finished the pasuk, and the pasuk basically says it's our fault, meaning it's because we sinned, it's because we didn't go in the Derech Hashem, and as a result of that, that's why all this is happening to us. So number one, the pasuk is just there to thematically explain why all this is happening, and number two, also the young man knew his Yeshayahu, and he was able, once the pasuk was started, he was able to finish the pasuk. Amar Muftachani Bo Shemora Hora Yisrael. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya says this young man, he's going to be a Mora Hora. Okay, just because he knew Tanakh. Now, from our standpoint, it's impressive. But back then, I don't want to say everybody knew Tanakh, but it wouldn't be so rare. So, but still, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said he's going to be a Mora Hora. He saw the potential. Havadah she'eni zaz mikan. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani says, I don't care what the cost is, I'm going to ransom him and get him out of jail. And the Gemara identifies this young man to end up becoming Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, a Gadol Shebi Yisrael, a Mora Halacha. Tosos on the very top of Nunches Amud Aleph is bothered by a very simple question. So how can you spend all the money to redeem? One of the takanas that were made is that you're not allowed to overpay for somebody. Overpaying for a captive is only going to encourage non-Jews to keep doing this, and it'll turn into a very successful business for them. So how can he spend all the money to redeem him? Take a look at the top Tosos on the Amud. So Tosos reminds us what we learned back in the fourth parak, and that is that if it's just shvuya, if it's just being held captive, so then you can only ransom at cost. However, once there's sakanas nefashos involved, so then you got to go over and above that which it normally costs. So that's Tosfos. That's one mahalach within Tosfos. Gabi mocher atzma v'etzbanav lo dekochavim koshken hacha deika ketala. So that's one suggestion of Tosfos in terms of how can he spend more than it cost. Inami mishum demuflag bechachmahaya. Now the second mahalach in Tosfos, I think, fits in a little bit better with the episode in the Gemara, because if you look at the Gemara, it didn't sound like he was ready to ransom him before he had a interaction with him. Meaning, if the first Mahalach in Tosfos is right, so then what would be the point of the Gemara telling the story of, here's the Pasuk Yishayo, or there's the other half, oh, he's going to be a Galdus Shabbi Yisrael. Meaning, if it's the Kanas Nefashos, so then without all the dialogue, he should have redeemed him. The second Mahalach in Tosfos is that he saw the kind of Tamei Chachamim he's going to become. He's going to be a Galdus Shabbi Yisrael, so that's why he felt it appropriate to redeem him, even though it was well above quote unquote cost. Okay, that's the second mahalach within Tosfos. There was an incident regarding the son and the daughter of Yishmael ben Elisha. They were taken captive amongst two masters. Now these two owners got together. One says, I have the most handsome looking Evan. And the other says, well, that's amazing, because I have a shivcha who is also unbelievably attractive. So they go into a very distorted partnership, where basically what they're going to do is they're going to mate his Eved with his shivcha, and they'll split the vlados. So they put the two in the room, hoping to breed these two. Ze Omer Ani Kohen Ben Kohanim Gedolem Esta Shivcha. So one says, meaning these were both the sons of this was both the son and the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. So obviously that means they were siblings, but they understood their yichus. Now they did not know who the other one was. So, but the boy says, "I'm the son of a Kohen, the son of Kohen Gadol, multiple Kohen Gadols. Must have been the Sirus Yichus." Vizos Amers Ani Kohenes Bas Kohanim Gadolim, and she says, "I'm a Bas Kohen." And Asela Evan Ubachu Kol Alayla, and they cried. The two of them cried the whole night. Kevin Shalom Amud Hashachar. He kiras Azeh. Once Amud Hashachar comes, they recognize one another. Benaflu Zeh Al Zeh. They fell one on the other and they started crying. Until their souls departed. And on this, Yirmiyahu gave a kina. Now, Yirmiyahu was back by Bais Rishon. And he was foretelling the impending destruction of Bais Rishon. But like we said yesterday, and like we're going to keep saying again, in other words, Chorm Bais Rishon, Chorm Bais Sheni, and we're talking about a Nevuah, so they can blend together. Even though there are over 490 years separating Chorm Bais Rishon, right, 490 is the right number. 490 years separating Chorm Bais Rishon and Chorm Bais Sheni, right, Chorm Bais Rishon followed by 70 years of Galus, followed then by 420 years of Bais Sheni. So 490 years separating Chorm Bais Rishon and Chorm Bais Sheni, but still, in Nevuah, it doesn't matter. So Va'alan Kon and Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu had a kina about them. Aleila Anibochia, Eni Ini Yorada Mayim. Amri Shlakish Maisa be Isha Achav Vitsafnas Bas Peniel Shema. Gemara tells another Maisa. Rish Lakish is telling this Maisa regarding Safnas Bas Peniel. Safnas Shalkol Sofin Biyofya. So the word Safnas because she was so attractive, everyone looked at her beauty. Bas Peniel Bito Shal Kohen Gadol Shashimish Lifnai Vilifnim. So she was the daughter of a Kohen Gadol. That's the name Peniel Penim from the interior, meaning that her father went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was a Kohen Gadol. Shinit Allah Bal Shavai Kol HaLayla. She was abused and violated by her captor the entire night. Lamachri Yobisha Shiva Chalukim. And then the next day he went in to go sell her. He wrapped her in seven layers of clothing. Votsi Olamachra. And he goes to take her out to sell her. Ba Adam Echa Shahayam Mechur Biyoser. A really disgusting man comes to make a purchase on her. Amar lo harini es yofya. So he says, look, I'm not going to buy her until I first see her. Amar lo reka. So the seller says to the potential buyer, you are an empty person. The seller says, I'm telling you, she is beautiful. And you're going to have to trust me on this. I'm sorry. Bechol ha'olam. Kula. Amar lo af apikain yivshita af apikain. And the potential buyer says, no, I'm not going to buy. I'm not going to buy her until I see her. Hishita shisha chalukim. So he starts removing the clothing. Now she was wrapped in seven layers, so he removed six layers. Ushvi'i karasa v'nispalsha be'efer. Now she herself rips the seventh. She herself rolls in the dirt. Amar lafanav ribono shel olam im aleinu lo chasta akedusha shimcha hagibor lama lo sachos. So she says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I understand you're not going to have rachmanis on us, but at least have rachmanis on your shame, on your name, and kedushas Hashem. Va'alah konin Yirmiyahu, and on this Yirmiyahu also gave a kina. Bas ami chigrisak vispalshi be'efer. Aval yachid asilach mispeid tamrurim. Ki pitom yavo hashodeid aleinu alecha. I'm sorry. Ki yavo hashodeid aleinu. The plunder is going to be coming aleinu on us, but meaning not just on me, but on all of us. Who's all of us including? Alecha lo nemar ela aleinu. Kaviyachol alayv alecha bashodein. Anochi amal b'tzara. Kadosh Baruch Hu is together with us in the tzara. So it wasn't just a plunder against us, but against the Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. I'm Rav Yudah, my Rabbi Dichsiv. The pasuk says, "V'ashku gever ubeiso v'ish v'nachloso." We were exploited, a man and his wife, and a man and his portion. And the Gemara now is going to explain. A man was took to his master's wife. And when he say master, meaning it wasn't a rabbi, he was an apprentice, right? His master was some sort of blacksmith, and he was an apprentice, but
a carpenter,
and he took to his master's wife. So pam achas hutzrach lelavos. So at one point in time, he needed a loan. So Shiger Amarlo Shiger Ishtachatli Ve'alveno. So the Talmud, the apprentice, says to the master, okay, you know what? I'll lend you money, no problem. But what you'll do is that you'll send your wife to me, and I'll use it, and she'll be the shliach, and she'll send the money back to you. Now, he sent the wife, and he was able to seduce and entice the wife for the next 3 days. Amarlo, so now he knows that his wife's not coming back. So he goes over and he says, "Ishtishu shigat yolach hechan hi? Where's my wife?" It's a legitimate question. So Amarlo, ani patati la'alta veshamati she'atinokes nitzal ba. So he says, "Look, I don't know. I sent her back immediately, but I did hear a rumor. I did hear that she fooled around with some young men. So bederech." So Amarlo ma'asa. So the master says to his apprentice, "What do you think I should do? That's terrible. Right, that my wife's fooling around." So more than fooling around. So Amarlo imatasha me'elat tzitzigersho. So he says, "I'm going to give you some good advice, and that is you shouldn't tolerate such a wife. So what you should do is you should divorce her." Amarlo k'sivasa meruba. So he says, "Well, you know I can't. The k'suva is exorbitant." Amarlo ani alvecha. So he says, "Look, I'll lend you the money, no problem at all. And what you'll do is you'll pay her the ksuva." Okay, so as per the advice of his apprentice, so he divorces his wife. And in terms of the ksuva, so he borrowed money from his apprentice in order to pay back the ksuva. Now the apprentice then goes ahead and he marries her. If she was mezana, he didn't have edim. You're right, but there were no edim. You're right. If there was nus, so then yes, she's mafsid ksuva. But there was no edim, so it's just hearsay. Okay. So kevan shehigiyas manova lo hayalo lo for o amalo bat vaseimi b'chovcha. So now the former master said, I know, it said to his apprentice, "I know I borrowed a lot of money from you, and I don't have the money to pay you back, so I'll tell you what you do." The apprentice says now to the former master, "You'll work for me." So now the former master now becomes the slave, the avid of the former apprentice. Vayuhem yoshvim v'ochlim v'shosim. And now, just very difficult to imagine, that now the apprentice is now with his new wife, the ex-wife of the former master, and they're sitting and they're enjoying, and there's the former master now who's serving his former apprentice. And his wife, his ex-wife, is now is married to his former apprentice. And, understandably, he was crying. And the tears were streaming down his face. But Nofos Bekoseim, and the Gemara produces such strong imagery, and the tears were going into the cup. And at that point, a Chasima Sadin, a Kadosh Baruch Hu signed the Gzardin, meaning this is the way that people treat one another at the end of Chorban Vaisheni. At the end of Bayisheni, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu was chosen. Va'amri al shtei psilos b'ner echad. The others have that the Baskol said that shtei psilos b'ner echad, 2 wicks in one lamp. It's a reference to the idea that this woman was both with the master and with the apprentice, and it's just that's not the way that we should behave. And as a result of that, there was a chasimas hadin. Adkan. Those are difficult. Those Gemaras. Okay. Now we are in the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We had just finished the Agarata of the Chorban Vaisheni. It started all the way back on Nun Hamad Beis. So Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, and half of Nun Ches, 2.5 plot of Gemara dedicating to the top of Chorban. As we already pointed out, it's by no coincidence that the Gemara puts these Divrei Agarata in the Masechta of Gittin dedicated to the topic of divorce. This is a divorce between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chorban Vaisheni, Chorban Bais Rishon. This is a get, so to say. So, but now we return back to our Mishnah. Let's remind ourselves. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? There was a din of what we call Sikrikan. Sikrikan is the idea that you have a non-Jew who comes and just basically kicks you out of your property. No regard for you, no regard for your property, kicks you out of your property, and then, to add insult to injury, so he sells the property to somebody else. Is that a valid sale? Is that not a valid sale? So the Gemara says it depends on the order. If the order is that first he goes to the Sikrikan and then he goes to you, so that's no good. If he first goes to you and then he goes to the Sikrikan, so then that would validate the sale. Then that's the Iker Hadin. That's Me Iker Hadin. That's the Halacha. But then as part of the Takana, so what they instituted was that I'm going back to the Mishnah on Enhamed Beis. That Halokech, I'm reading the Mishnah. Right, Beis Shachem Amru, Halokech Mesikrikan, Nosen Labalem Revia. That when you buy from a Sikrikan, you don't have to go first to the owner and then to the Sikrikan, but rather here's what you're going to do. What you're going to do is you're going to buy from the Sikrikan, he's going to discount the property to you, and as we explained back in the Mishnah, of course he's going to discount the property to you, he got it for nothing. So he's operating with a profit margin of 100%. 100% profit margin. So he's going to give it to you at a discount. The Gemara's assumption is he's going to sell it to you at 3/4 of what it should cost. So what you should do is not gain from that. So you should give 1/4 of the sale back to the original owner. Gemara says that was the takana. Halokech mesikrik and osan labalim revia. Amosai b'zman she'im b'yad nalikach, ava yesh b'yad nalikach, hein kod mechol adam. And then the Gemara points out, I'm sorry, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah back on Enhamed Beis, but the Mishnah then told us, but if the original owner had money, he has first rights to buy the land back from the Sikrikan, being that it's his land. Rebbe Oshi b'yad nalikach, Rebbe made another takana on top of that, which is she'im shasab, if nei Sikrikan, shnei masar chodesh, kolakodim likach zaka, ava nosan labam revia. So Rebbe's takana was, is that if this land was in the Sikrikan's hands for over 12 months, at that point there's no such thing as first rights. Anyone who goes and buys the land will be able to purchase the land. And the only thing is that you need to give 1/4 of the money back to the original owner.
I think the Sikrikan paid everything minus 1/4 to the original owner. And that's why they give him less than 1/4. So he doesn't lose anything.
Did he pay anything?
It's a
kicking. The way Rashi presented in the Mishnah, he paid nothing.
He didn't pay for it.
Hey, Rashi, if you look back at Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says, "Sikrikan ove kochavim rotzeach, shenosin lo yisrael karka bepidyon afsho, va'omer lo sa karka zev al timiseni." Okay. So the Gemara now in the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph discusses Lakach min Sikrikan Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Da Amar Lo Lech Chazek V'Kni Ava Bishtar Kane. So Rav makes a distinction in terms of how the instructions were. The if the original owner says to the purchaser, meaning there are three people involved in this transaction. It's not a transaction, but there are three people that are involved. There's the original owner, there's the Sikrikan, who basically takes it from the original owner, and then there's the purchaser from the Sikrikan. So in our Mishnah, we made a point of whether or not the purchaser made a legitimate purchase or did not make a legitimate purchase. So on that, Rav is saying now that if the original owner says to the purchaser, you know what? Go ahead, buy it. Now, if he says, how are you going to make a kinyan? If he says, make a kinyan with a kinyan chazaka. Now, remember, with property, there are three ways to buy the land. One, kesef shtar chazaka. Either money, document, or chazaka. Chazaka means a proprietary act. Doing something that indicates that you are, in fact, the owner. Putting a shovel on the ground, putting a fence around the property, doing something that shows that you're the owner. So if the original owner says to the purchaser, you know what, go ahead, do a maisa chazaka that shows and indicates that you're the owner, so then we have the halacha of our Mishnah. However, Rav says, if what the owner says to the purchaser is, I want you to purchase the property with a shtar, so at that point in time, that concretizes the sale. More than a kinyan chazaka would, because a shtar is obviously enduring. A shtar is documentation showing that you're the rightful owner. And if what the original owner says to the purchaser is, you should use a shtar, that shows a gemiras das on the part of the original owner that he wants the property to be sold to the purchaser. This is Rav's understanding. So aval b'shtar kana u'shmol amar af b'shtar nami lo kana ad sheyichtov lo achrayas. So the Shmuel says no, that even if the original owner said to the purchaser, you go and buy it with the shtar with achrayas. Now achrayas just simply means that the seller says to the buyer that not only am I selling you the property, but if somebody comes along and takes the property away from you, you will have full recourse and you can come after me and any of my properties, then the sale will be a validated sale. Selling the property with a guarantee. That supports Shmuel. And the Brisa reads, we're now in the top of Nunches Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Lakach Min Ish V'Chaz V'Lakach Min Ish Mechel Kayim Min Ish V'Chaz V'Lakach Min Ish Mechel Batal. So what we learned back in our Mishnah, and the Gemara now is quoting a Tosefta, and that is buying a property. Buying a property from a man with the understanding that the woman has a lien on the property. So really what you're doing is you're buying two things. You're buying both the property and you're buying the wife's lien on that property. So order becomes significant. If you first go to the woman and buy her lien, and afterwards you go to the man and you buy the actual property itself, good. Mechel Kayim. However, if you go to the man and you buy the property, and then you go to the woman and you buy her lien, that's no good. Why? Because we explained back in the Mishnah. Because the wife is saying yes simply to please her husband. The husband already sold the property, so clearly he wants the sale.
Why wouldn't she have in the first place? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't she sell if the order was switched? She's going to try to please her husband either in whether order.
Well, she, in other words, if the husband already sold the property, she knows that her husband wants to. In the first case, there's no assumption that her husband wanted to sell the property. If there was a conversation, I guess maybe you can make an argument. But let's assume there was no conversation. So she doesn't know that her husband wants the property sold. So if she, the only reason why she's selling her lien is because she actually wants to sell it. It's a legitimate sale. So that's what the Tosefta says. But then the Tosefta goes on to continue. So v'lakach min isha mechel batal. If, however, the wife sells the sells her lien with a contract, with a chrayus, so then you know that the wife sells, in fact, a legitimate sale. She actually doesn't agree to sell the property. So name it to the Rav. So now comes out that it's a kashan Rav because it's a brisa. Now the Gemara could say Rav Tanu Palig. That's a possibility. But the Gemara says I'm lecha Rav. My achrayus na mishtar. No, achrayus over here just simply means the shtar. Don't take the word achrayus super literally. It just simply means that he sold it through a shtar. Tanu Rabban. The Gemara quotes the brisa. Lakach min asikrikan va'achla shalashanim bifnei balam. So let's say someone purchased it from a Sikrikan. And then what did he do? He sat on that land for 3 years. This is another form of chazaka. Right? This is the quote-unquote more popular chazaka. This chazaka is, because it's discussed in the third parak of Baba Basra, Cheska Sabatim. So basically this kind of chazaka means that I lived on this property for 3 undisturbed years. No one contested my rightful ownership of this property. And if after 3 years you're on a property and no one contests you being on the property, so you become the de facto owner, even if you don't have documentation. What happened to the shtar? After 3 years, you can legitimately say, I don't know. Right? I was supposed to hold it that long? Okay. So, so now, let's follow, because this is now a little bit more complex. So someone purchased it from a Sikrikan, so you have the original owner, you have the Sikrikan who took it, you have the person who purchased it from the Sikrikan, and now he was on the property for 3 uncontested years, then he sold it to another, Ein Labalam Alokech Sheni Klum. The original owner has no case against the second purchaser. Now, the Gemara says, what's happening over here? Eichidami. Idika tain v'amra minach zavna. So, if the taina was, so I purchased it from you, afilu rishonami. So, what difference does it make whether it's against the second or against the first? And idolo katayin v'amra minach zavna, afilu sheni nami lo. And if there was no taina, so, meaning, what difference does it make whether he went 3 uncontested years and he held it, or he went 3 uncontested years and he sold it. What difference does it make? So Amar Rav Sheshes La'olam de lo katainle. So the Gemara says, really, there was no taina. Ukugon ze to'anin le'yorish, v'to'anin lo'lokeach. So the Gemara says, and in this particular case, we'll make a taina on behalf of the second purchaser. Meaning, the second purchaser doesn't know anything from the original owner. What was his transaction? His transaction was with the first purchaser. So, under these circumstances, so now what? He, from his perspective, this was a property that went 3 years uncontested, that went uncontested. And the first purchaser sold to the second purchaser. What does he know in terms of the history of this property other than, I think the legitimate owner was the first purchaser? So now, if let's say the original owner comes and says, hey, that one land was my land, ta'aninan lay. Basin will come to the second purchaser and say, look, make a very simple taina, meaning that an acquisition was done. So, however, if it's the first purchaser, he understood that he bought it from a Sikrikan. He understood that the Sikrikan took it from the original owner. If he's going to make a taina, that's fine. But if he's not going to make a taina, so then we're not going to make a taina on his behalf, because he was knowledgeable about the history of this property. He bought it from the Sikrikan, so only under the circumstances that he makes a taina. A taina along the lines of, there was a shtar, I bought it with a shtar, it's 3 years later, I don't have the shtar anymore. If he makes a taina, fine, but if he doesn't make a taina, we're not going to make a taina on his behalf. For the Yoresh, for the second purchaser, we will taina on their behalf. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. We finished the Agadata regarding Chorban. A little bit further in the topic of Sikrikan. Tomorrow we finish the topic of Sikrikan and go on to discuss other Tekanos.